Numbers chapter 23. Here in chapter 23 and verse number 1, it says, "And Balaam said unto Balak," remember Balak was the who? Who was Balak?
The king.
The king of the...
Yeah, the enemy.
Yeah, the enemy king. All right, of the Moabites. And Balaam said unto Balak, "Build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams." And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. And Balaam said unto Balak, "Stand by thy burnt offering, and I will go, and peradventure the Lord," Jehovah here, "will come and meet with me. And whatsoever he showeth me, I will tell thee." And he went to a high place. Right now, as I've said before, and I'll keep on saying it until we get to heaven and I can ask the Lord, I don't understand this Balaam guy. He's a confusing fella. Because one moment he acts like he's talking to God, the next minute he's offering these sacrifices to who? God? Or is he offering them to the pagan idols? I don't know who he's offering them to. And at one point he's dealing with divinations, which deals almost with witchcraft. He's an odd fella, but God does use him in some way, and God does meet with him. So here he's meeting with him and building these sacrifices. Now, where is it that they're building these things? It's important for us to note that. I don't know where that was actually mentioned, but I have it in my notes here, in your notes and my notes. The location of the first sacrifice was in Kirjath Huzoth. Some claim that the location was on Mount Pisgah. When you look down at your map in the corner here, you'll see two mountains. They're kind of in faint letters. I tried to make them bigger, and I couldn't get them any bigger. But Mount Pisgah is the one on the left, and Mount Peor is on the right, or Peor, or whatever that is. So that's where they kind of think it was. Now, when you look at that, the body of water, it's in black and white, so you can't see it. So if you get confused, this little chunk coming up here is the top of the Dead Sea. All right, that's the top of the Dead Sea coming up there. And so you got the Jordan River going up there. The camp of Israel's there in the valley. And over on these mountains along this ridge over here, the mountain ridge, they went up on top of this first mountain here. That's where they're dealing with it. Okay? So
the moment is basically modern day Jordan.
I know the Bible once better than I do modern day, so you tell me.
Which is Edom down below, Moabites above them,
Ammonites,
and then Judah.
Okay. So that's where it is. It's along the eastern side of the Red Sea and Dead Sea, or the Jordan River and the Dead Sea. Along that area there. Now they've offered these oxen and these rams, and then Balaam goes off to talk to God. And verse number 4, it says, "And Balaam, God met Balaam, and he said unto him, I have prepared 7 altars, and have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth, and said, Return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice, and he and all his princes of Moab. And he took up the parable and said," all right, here's Balaam's parable from verse 7 down to verse number 10. "Balak the king of Moab hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, Come, curse me Jacob, and come, defy Israel. How shall I curse whom God hath not cursed? And how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? For from the top of the rocks I see him, and from the hills I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell along, and shall not be reckoned among the nations. Who can count the dust of Jacob, and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Let me die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his." All right, so he totally blesses Israel. And, of course, this doesn't impress Balak. So Balak's upset with him. "Balak said unto Balaam, What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. And he answered and said, Must I not take heed to speak what the Lord hath put in my mouth. And Balak said unto him, Come, I pray thee, with me unto another place, from whence thou mayest see them, and then thou shalt see but the uttermost part of them, and shalt not see them all, and curse me them from thence. All right, so he's the first time here, he tries this, and it doesn't work. So Balak says, all right, let's go to another spot. So verse 11 down to verse 4, down to 24, he's dealing with the second time he's trying, and Balak is getting him to do this. Now, they went up on Mount Pisgah this time. All right, so the first time there, it was on this other mountain that was near Pisgah. Now they're up on Mount Pisgah. All right, so they've gone up on Mount Pisgah. And verse number 14, and he brought him into a field of Zophim, the top of Pisgah, and he built seven altars, offered seven bullocks and seven and a ram on every altar. And he said unto Balaam, Balak, stand here by the burnt offerings, and I will meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam, and put a word in his mouth, and said, Go again unto Balak, and say thus. And when he came to him, behold, he stood by the burnt offering, and the prince of the Moab with him. And Balak said unto him, What hast the Lord spoken? And he took up his parable, and said, Rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of the king is among them. God brought them out of Egypt, and hath, as it were, the strength of an unicorn. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. According to this time it shall be said of Jacob and of Israel, what hath God wrought? Behold, the people shall rise up as a great lion and lift up himself as a young lion. He shall not lie down until he eat of the prey and drink of the blood of the slain. All right, so once again, he gives him a great blessing here. Now, this one here has got some things in it we need to talk about. As you look through there, did you notice anything significant that we need to highlight in our minds?
Unicorns?
Yeah, well, the unicorn is one of the things, and I don't know all the answers about that one.
Maybe that he said that God is not a man, and he's not like a...
Okay. Yeah, he says God is not a man that he should lie. God's not going to lie to you. He's going to tell you the truth. And he told you before, he's not going to curse these guys. He's going to bless them. So that's an important thing. Even though Balaam is saying this, he's saying it because that's what God put in his mouth, that God doesn't lie. And that's an important thing for us to see. So when we're reading scriptures and you read something that God says and you think, boy, that's sure, that's a hard one to understand. We need to understand that God doesn't lie. God tells the truth. We can trust him, and he's not going to deceive us or lie to us. So that's a good one. All right, and then he goes on two verses later, and he says, verse number 21, hath he not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. And I'm thinking, what? I mean, 40 years, God's been ticked at these guys because they kept doing all kinds of bad things. But yet they were his people, and he loved them. And when God looked at them from the perspective of the pagans, God said, these folk are my people, and I don't see iniquity in them. I love them.
And his perspective of grace as well.
Yes.
Well, they're God's elect.
What's that?
They're God's elect.
Yes. But at the same time, there was grace there. There was God's forgiveness, God's cleansing, and God's grace, and God had been very, very good to them. And we look at that and we can see the same of us. We all know our own failures. We don't broadcast them. We don't, thankfully, we don't have to wear a sign on us, telling everybody all the things that we've done. But we know our own failures, and yet God forgives, and God is willing to look at us and say, I see no wickedness. I have forgiven them. And that is a wonderful blessing, just to ponder and meditate on that. Those two verses I've highlighted in my Bible, verse 19 and verse 21, that God's not a man that he should lie or that he should repent. When he says something, he's going to do it. And then verse 21, that he saw no iniquity in Jacob. What a blessing. And as we think on that in regards to our own situations and our own state before God. Okay? Any other thoughts on that before we press on? Okay, let's look at the third attempt then. Actually, in verse number 25, Balak responds. Balak said unto him, Balaam, neither curse them nor at all, nor bless them at all. But Balaam answered and said unto Balak, told not I thee, saying, all that the Lord speaketh, that will I do, or that I must do? So he said, what do you expect? That's what I told you from the beginning. And verse number 27, then Balak said unto Balaam, come, I pray thee, I will bring thee up unto another place, peradventure it will please God that thou mayest curse me them from thence. Now, I'm not sure what he's thinking. I mean, if God said no, why would he think, looking at him from a different perspective, is going to change God's mind?
Location, location, location.
I don't know. Maybe it's something about their superstition or something. I'm not sure. And verse 28, and Balak brought Balaam unto the top of Peor, which is looketh toward Jeshimon. Why? Now, Peor is that other mountain over there. And so that's a little bit further to the north. And so he's looking at him from a different angle, slightly maybe over a different range, down under the camp of Israel there. He could see down in there. And so he takes him to this place. And verse 29, and Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars and prepare me 7 bullocks and 7 rams. And Balak did as Balaam had said and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. He's going to use up all of his cattle and his sheep too, or his rams. All right, so they've offered up these things, and we continue on in chapter 24, and we see in verse number 1, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek enchantments, but he set his face toward the wilderness. Now, what's that mean? Apparently the first 3 times he went to seek enchantments. Well, enchantments have to do with witchcraft type stuff. So it makes you wonder, what in the world? This guy's mixing witchcraft and God and these offerings, and I don't know. I don't understand Balaam.
I don't think he's a good man.
Well, he's not a good guy. But for some reason, God used him. You know, and God can do that. God can use even pagans for his own glory. And whether Balaam was one of God's or not, God knows, I don't know.
Samson had idols in his house, and Saul inquired of the witch of Endor.
Well, Saul got in big trouble for it, too.
No, I'm not saying they're good, I'm just saying it's sort of fairly common practice to be secretive
in those
days. This event must take place over a few days or maybe weeks.
Well,
because when they prepared all that stuff, you know, it's not just something that can happen.
It wasn't all in the same day, that's for sure.
7 altars, we've got to get 7 oxen.
Yeah. And not only that, but you remember where these are. So you got to pull this whole oxen up on the top of this mountain. Come on, get up there. Somebody behind him jabbing him, trying to get him to climb this mountain. And I climb up the top of the mountain, and then they make all these altars. Yeah, it would have taken quite a while. So exactly how long, God doesn't tell us, but it obviously wasn't all in one afternoon. All right. So in verse number 2, and Balaam lifted his eyes and he saw Israel abiding in their tents according to their tribes. I know, what would that mean? Remember how they're all laid out there? All right, who was in the middle? Sorry? Well, the tabernacle was in the middle. Who was around the tabernacle?
The Levites
and the priests. All right, and then around them, there was the 3 of the tribes in the north, 3 in the east, 3 in the west, 3 in the south. Around them. Okay? So that's all this. So he sees that here, sees them according to their tribes, and the Spirit of God came upon him, and he took up his parable and said unto Balaam, the son of Beor, has said, and the man whose eyes are open has said, and he has said, which heard the words of God and saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance and having his eyes opened. Now, how goodly are the tents, O Jacob, and thy tabernacles, O Israel, as the valleys are they spread forth as gardens by the river's side, as the trees of Lion Aloes, which the Lord has planted, and it's the cedar trees beside the waters. He shall pour the water out of his buckets, and his seed shall be as in many waters, and his kings shall be higher than Agag, and the king his kingdom shall be exalted. And God brought him forth out of Egypt, and hath as it were the strength of a unicorn. There's your unicorn again, Peter. And he shall eat up the nations as his enemies, and shall break their bones in pieces, pierces them through with his arrows. He couched his. Somebody else should read this. He couched. He lay down as a lion and as a great lion. Who shall stir him up? Blessed is he that blesseth thee, and cursed is he that curses thee. All right, so this time it says there that he didn't go to seek the Lord, but he fell on his face toward the east, and he got this information from God. You know, again, I don't understand all that, but he tells the same thing, again, blesses him in a different way than he had before, but again, he blesses him. And so Balak is furious. Verse number 10, Balak's anger was kindled against Balaam, and he smote his hands together, and Balak said unto Balaam, I call thee to curse mine enemies, and behold, thou hast altogether blessed them these three times. Therefore now, flee thou to thy place. I thought to promote thee unto great honor, but lo, the Lord hath kept thee back from honor. And Balaam said unto Balak, spake I not unto thee thy messengers, which thou sentest unto me, saying, if Balak give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the commandment of the Lord to do either good or bad of mine own mind. But what the Lord saith, that will I speak. And now, behold, I go unto my people. Come therefore, and I will advise thee what this people shall do to thy people in the latter days. Now that last verse there is significant, because he didn't just tell them that. He told them some other stuff that we're going to find out later as we work our way through that wasn't good. Okay, so he says there he's going to tell them what's going to happen to these people in the latter days. And just a clue there, one of the next things that happens after Balaam leaves, the people get into immorality with the enemies. And later on, God tells us that it was Balaam's advice that got him into that. So Balaam obviously told Balak, listen, I can't curse them, but here's something you could do. You entice them into sin, and you'll defeat them that way. And they did. And Israel got in a lot of big trouble for that. All right? So those are some of the things that were happening. Now, Balaam's final parable there, verses 15 to 24, is his final parable that he gives here. And Balaam took up a parable and said, Balaam, the son of Beor, hath said, and the man whose eyes are open said, he hath said, which heard the words of God and knew the knowledge of the Most High, which saw the vision of the Almighty, falling into a trance, but having his eyes opened, I shall see him not now. I shall behold him, but not nigh. There shall come a star out of Jacob. Now that word star there is probably a prophetic word. There shall come a star out of Jacob, and a scepter shall rise out of Israel, probably referring to Christ again, and shall smite the corners of Moab and destroy all the children of Seth and Sheth. And Edom shall be a possession. Seir also shall be a possession for the his enemies, and Israel shall do valiantly. Out of Jacob shall come he that shall have dominion, and shall destroy him that remaineth of the city. And when he looked on Amalek, he took up his parable and said, Amalek was the first of the nations, but the latter end shall be that he perish forever. And he looked on the Kenites, and he took up a parable and said, Strong is the dwelling, is thy dwelling place, and thou puttest thy nest in a rock. Nevertheless, the Kenite shall be wasted, and until Asher shall carry thee away captive. And he took up a parable and said, Alas, who shall live when God doth this? And ships shall come from the coast of Shittim, and shall afflict Asher, and shall afflict Eber, and he also shall perish forever. And Balaam rose up and went and returned to his place, and Balak went his way. Now, this last thing here, I got a quotation from Charles Ryrie from his Bible, study Bible, and he says here in our notes, before Balaam left for home, he made four predictions. Number one, the coming of the Messiah ruler of Israel. That was the star and the scepter, referring to the coming Messiah. Then, and the children of Seth, a general reference to tumult. Number two, victory over Moab, Edom, and Amalekites and the Kenites. Number three, the Assyrian captivity of Israel. Well, that's looking down the way quite a ways. And number four, the affliction of the Assyrians and Eber, which he says are the Hebrews, by the people of the Mediterranean area called Kittim or Chittim. Now, I tried to figure that out. Chittim apparently refers to some islands out in the Mediterranean. And I don't know what that's talking about, whether that would refer ultimately to the Romans coming across and attacking them, like in 70 AD. I'm not sure what that is. There's no battle that I know of in the Bible where the people from the Mediterranean came and attacked Israel, other than later on in the Romans. Anybody else have any ideas what that might be?
The Persians were occupying part of Greece during
Yeah.
500 BC,
that's a possibility, but they would have been coming from the north. You know, if they probably wouldn't have come from the sea. I don't know. That is a possibility. So anyway, that's some comments he makes here about those last that last prediction of Balaam. So Balaam leaves the scene for now, but he causes a lot of trouble because of the things that he said. You know, honestly, I really don't know. Balaam's later on, he's killed in battle when the Israelites attack. He's killed in one of the battles. I don't know where he stands. God knows. I don't have a clue. But some principles here for us today. You know, God is unchangeable. He never lies. His promises are sure. He's forgiving when we confess our sin. He sees and knows the future as well as he knows the past. We've got a great God. And then sometimes God chooses to use odd men like Balaam to fulfill his will. And you know, that actually gives us hope. Because, you know, we look at ourselves, we know our own frailties, we know our own failures, and yet God can use us if we're willing to be used of God. Or if we're willing to let God use us, God can use, if God can use Balaam, he can use you and me. All right? And so that's an encouragement, because even though Balaam might not have even been he obviously respected God, but I just don't understand him. There's a lot of confusion there. But whether he knew God or not, personally, God did use him. And so God can use us as well.